This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright, and today we have a very special guest. I alluded to previously how we did have this amazing episode that we recorded with Rod from our Vancouver office and Melissa with BMO Chief Economist, BMO Canada, Doug Porter, unwrapping what was happening out there from the economic standpoint, the political standpoint, but for whatever reason, we have done everything possible to try to retrieve this episode recording. But after tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars in money spent, we unfortunately cannot retrieve the episode. And obviously, Doug's extremely busy. The chance of him coming back on so soon would be hard. So today's episode, I've got Rod McKay from our Vancouver William Wright office, but also co-host of that episode. And Rod, thanks so much for coming back and joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Corey, thanks for having me on. It's certainly unfortunate for the listeners that instead of the chief economist of BMO Financial Group, Doug Porter, they've got to listen to Rod McKay for an economic update in what's a pretty important time with all of the uncertainty that's out there. But we recorded the episode tried to record about 3 weeks ago. So yeah. I'll do my best to recap some of the hot topics that were discussed and some of the high level responses that we got from Doug. It was an excellent conversation. It's really unfortunate that we lost the episode, but here we are, lots to talk about with things going on in our economy, things down south. So let's get into it.
So Rod, we're having you on today. We're going to recap what you guys talk about. We will preface this with this is not Doug Porter's, he's not endorsing what we're saying. We're just going to try to recap from memory what you guys talked about and what points he may have brought up with regards to that stuff there, just so we can try to get the insight out to the listeners, especially in this time right now with political uncertainty, economic challenges, and everything that comes with it. So Rod, in your episode there, I know politics were probably something that had to be brought up. At this time, we had Mr. Trump was in power down south. There was the threat, I believe, of the tariffs not yet imposed yet. What was Doug's position, thoughts on the political outlook, maybe both in Canada and Canada's relationships with Mr. Trump and America?
Yeah, certainly. Well, before we actually got into that, it started off a little bit more high level, just basic outlook for the Canadian economy in 2025. And, he seemed quite a bit more optimistic than I thought he might have. He's saying the Canadian economy is expected to rebound in 2025. We've had a couple of years of sluggish performance, but with inflation declining, interest rates coming off, he's anticipating growth closer to the long-run average, slightly below 2%. So while external risks remain, lower borrowing costs and resilient labor markets should support moderate economic expansion. Now, you touched on the politics and the climate that we're in. So that's obviously the biggest issue that was discussed. So we've got Donald Trump down south looking to impose these tariffs, and it seems like it's changing every single day what his position is on it. And it's affecting us greatly. So part of his job is to make a forecast of what's to happen in the future. And that's made very challenging in uncertain times like this, where things seem to be changing rapidly each and every day. I think, from his perspective, Canada probably doesn't win in a trade war. If you look at the percentage of our GDP that we send to the US compared to them over to us, we just don't win. We send so much more of our product as a percentage of a GDP than they do to us. So it's really in our best interest to negotiate with them and come to some kind of agreement where we can meet in the middle. You know, if these measures are put in place, it would, he said, it would certainly dampen Canada's growth prospects, potentially reducing GDP growth by up to 1%. So he also mentioned that inflation may see temporary uptick due to increased import costs, particularly in sectors like manufacturing, agriculture, and consumer goods.
Now, is there anything, obviously you guys spoke about the GDP there, and to your point, I remember I read something, and I'm probably going to like over-exaggerate this or under-exaggerate some way, somehow, that Canada's GDP of exports to the States was about 22.5% of our total GDP, but America's exports into Canada only represented about 1.5% of their GDP. So we have much more at risk in the event it does turn into a trade war with how much of our GDP is made up of exports into their country versus them coming back into ours.
Yeah, certainly. And I think those figures actually, I think they came directly from BMO. I remember reading those figures, I think about a month ago. And yeah, that's exactly what he touched on. And that's why he thinks it's for the best that we come to a negotiation with our neighbors down south as opposed to fighting them. But it remains to be unseen. Now, another topic, obviously, is not just the government down south, but the government right here at home. There's a lot of uncertainty there.
So we should say this here just for the listeners. We're recording this on Monday. What are we here, Rod? We're Monday,
March 10th.
March 10th. And as of yesterday, March 9th, Carney has taken the seat as the Liberal leader. So at the time of the recording, that wasn't in play. That's obviously going to hopefully help the Liberal Party and the federal government now that we actually do have somebody in play. But what was Doug's thoughts on that at that time? Obviously, Trudeau had stepped down. The Liberals had yet to appoint a new leader.
Yeah, so he, even though this was 3 weeks ago, he had predicted that it was more than likely looking like it was going to be Mark Carney, who's going to be the leader of the Liberal Party. Now, it's looking more and more like it's going to be a spring election at that time. I think there was a little bit more uncertainty. So making predictions without knowing when the next election is, who's going to be the leader of the Liberal Party, obviously makes it quite difficult. But he did touch a little bit on how the Canadian economy might fare differently under a Liberal versus Conservative government. So historically, Liberal and Conservative governments have approached economic policy obviously quite differently, and this has implications for growth, taxation, business investment, and the commercial real estate sector, where the Liberal government typically focuses on public spending, social programs, infrastructure investment, whereas a Conservative government generally prioritizes fiscal restraint, lower corporate taxes, reducing regulatory burdens. So this approach can attract business investment and support productivity growth. So different approaches from those parties. But again, it's challenging to predict when we don't know exactly when the election is and who our next leader might be.
So I was hearing that potentially we could be going to the polls as early as May, is what I was hearing yesterday when I was watching some of the shows talking about the appointment of Carney into the leadership role there for the Liberals. That, I think, would probably coincide with Elections Canada taking space, it feels like, throughout areas unofficially, that potentially that would make a lot of sense. And I think from a Canadian standpoint, the sooner we can get new leadership in, whether that's a new Liberal premier or a Conservative party or a new party, I think it just bodes better with obviously the challenges that we are having down south right now with regards to the trade war and the tariffs and all this stuff there. I think it gives a much more longer runway to kind of try to figure out how we're going to deal with this and all that stuff. Because I think right now we have so much political uncertainty in our country right now that it's very easy to take shots at us.
You know, it's funny. I was actually, this obviously isn't from Doug Porter, and who knows of how much of what I said really was, but I was reading a article from CTV yesterday, and they're saying that the top issue for Canadians in the upcoming election, is how the leader will deal with Donald Trump and the tariffs. And that came in ahead of the economy, believe it or not.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Well, depending, you know, polls are just polls. But if you look at how much ground it looks like the Liberals have made up and the Conservatives have fallen off. And again, these are just polls. We'd have no idea what the end results will be. I think a lot of that is probably just dealing with how the Liberals have stood up to Mr. Trump and Trudeau stood up to him, some degree and not back down, and we're imposing these tariffs and all that stuff. And again, I'm not going to share my political views, but I think there's been a lot of headwind made by the Liberal Party in the eyes of Canadians because they did immediately stand up and didn't crater with regards to demands or lack thereof. Or I guess, again, when I say lack thereof, we don't know what the demands are. It's fentanyl, but so much fentanyl comes from their other neighbors, not so much us, but we get looped into it according to stats. That it'd be really interesting to see how the next premier does with this, because we obviously have to deal with it. And that directly will correlate with the economy more so than ever.
Certainly. And now there was a couple other topics that we've touched on as well. One of which I thought his response was fairly interesting. We did talk about Canadian immigration policy, which federally we've peeled back quite a bit. And so we asked him how the immigration policy has affected the economy. And his response was that immigration has been a major driver for economic growth in Canada, particularly over the past couple of years. I think we had over 1 million newcomers in 2023 and 2024. Which supported labor markets, consumer spending, and with that, real estate demand. But even though we've changed the policy on immigration, he doesn't see that having as big of an impact to the economy as I might have thought.
Interesting.
Now, he obviously put it quite a bit more eloquently than this, and he expanded on it a lot further. But he doesn't see it having a huge impact. Now, another big topic, which felt like we were talking about daily over the last couple of years, was interest rates. So we've obviously seen interest rates. We've seen interest rates coming off consistently, and he expects that to continue.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more rate cuts, especially with the looming threat of tariffs. If these stay in place, they're going to need to do something to stimulate the economy, and rate cuts is probably the easiest way to do that. So for the foreseeable future, going to 2025, it appears that we'll have some more rate cuts.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with 2 fitness areas, 3 children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
Did Doug mention kind of, obviously he pulls out his crystal ball. Did he talk about how 2025 may fare, assuming there's tariffs or obviously there's a lot of uncertainty and even more uncertainty at the time when you guys had really spoken to him for the recording. Did he give you any forecasting on potentially what 2025 could look like? Good or bad, depending on how things played itself out?
Yeah, generally he seemed quite optimistic. I think tariffs aside, it sounded like the forecast for 2025 was generally quite, I don't know if I'd say strong, but probably stronger than most people might expect. It certainly wasn't doom and gloom. He expects modest growth. Lots of different sectors are still performing quite well. And, you know, it is really the looming threat of the tariffs that brings that down a bit. But,
yeah,
you know, 2% GDP growth, that's not a recession.
No, not at all. Well, it's, I'm actually really positive to hear that, because the other thing, too, is I think that obviously, I mean, with the tariff threats or tariffs coming in, I think it's going to force most, like, you know, countries like Canada to look at new international trading partners, but also probably look also within our own country with regards to, and people may not know this, is there's actually trading boundaries with regards to interprovincial trading, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's there to protect, obviously, the economies within those provinces and companies and manufacturers of products within those provinces. But even lifting up some of the trade barriers we have just in our own country, that could also spur and stimulate some growth from within, because there's a lot of products that Canada can produce at a really, really, really good cost that we could actually spur and grow our own economy within, probably just by simply maybe relooking or even removing some of those interprovincial trade barriers we have.
I completely agree. You know, it's one thing you can just dwell on how upset everybody is about these tariffs that are coming from Donald Trump, but let's work on the things that we can control. And yeah, try to see the silver lining and if there's any way to make some positives out of this. So yeah, I think certainly, even though tariffs overall certainly are not going to benefit us, I think some good things could come out of this.
Yeah, and I've been pretty vocal, like at our company, obviously with our sales calls and meetings, kind of sharing my thoughts. I just can't see how either side of the border would really have a win-win scenario if the tariffs kind of went into the long run. I would really think that there'd be a lot of economic impact, obviously more in Canada than the States, but still the Americans would be affected by it. You know, one of the platforms that Mr. Trump ran on was to make America more affordable, because it was a very high cost of living, and bringing in tariffs is going to completely, you know, add additional costs to the American public on goods that they probably need. They may not have to buy as much, but again, it's going to raise the cost. And I think one thing too that maybe some of the general public may or may not know is, like, I was watching a show, maybe it was CNBC or something like that, and they had a guy from YouTube who was a very vocal Trump supporter, and how these tariffs were like the greatest things. And when they had to explain to this YouTuber who actually paid the tariffs, he looked like a deer caught in headlights, because his comment when asked was something to the effect of, the Americans and Canadians are going to pay this. And when they explained it to us, the American company will purchase the goods from a Canadian company and they'll pay a tariff to the American government and then most likely pass those tariff costs on to the American public, thus increasing the cost of that product to the American public. This guy looked like a deer caught in headlights that Canada just didn't write a check for these tariffs. So I don't necessarily know how it's been presented to the American public, but I think if you fast forward 3 or 4 months and general things cost a lot more than what they do right now, that could really sway some of the opinions of those people maybe who are in for the tariffs, if now they're paying for it on dairy products or lumber products or even energy. And I think the other thing too is if you are going to implement tariffs to try to spur growth in your own country, I understand the purpose of them, but if you don't really have the infrastructure in place yet to maybe support that, that could also be problematic, because there's probably a lot of goods that you need to purchase from other countries to create that infrastructure, which is now going to cost more to create, thus passing on further cost to the American public when those things actually are up and going, because they cost that much more to actually get up and going because of tariffs on products that maybe might have to be brought in from other countries. So I don't see how this could really play itself out for a long extended period of time without them coming to the table with regards to it and trying to figure out a new solution.
And that's the hope, is that we can come to some kind of solution. I think here in Canada and what we're seeing locally in our market with the clients that we're working with is they just want a level of certainty. So if we can have some kind of certainty with the tariffs, what's going on down south with Donald Trump, if we can have some level of certainty with which government we're going to have in place, I think that will really open things up and instill a level of confidence into investors again. While in this period right now, everybody's kind of just wait and see. Now, having said that, for people that have the capacity to, I think right now is actually a great time, because there's a lot of people on the sidelines that are humming and hawing.
Absolutely.
It could be a great opportunity for people to make some great investments in the current climate that we're in.
There's more money to be made in a market that's uncertain than a hot market. Because what the problem is in a hot market, unless you got in at a much lower price, you might be buying high and selling low one day, because it is a market cycle. And a lot of people forget those, that we operate in a cycle. And people make the assumption, I buy real estate, it goes up. And that is the case, yes, usually historically over time, but over a long period of time. And if you have a commercial property that doesn't have tenants in it, because for whatever reason, you might have bought it cheap, but you also might be paying a lot to keep it going. So when you actually sell it, it might not be as great. So buying in these uncertain times and know what you're buying, you might do very, very well if you can buy the right thing in a market right now as the market spurs and grows in a positive direction at some point.
And you don't have to compete with multiple offers as people are waiting. So, you know, it really is a great opportunity, I think, right now as we speak for investors.
Yeah. And then, Rod, obviously, we know you're extremely busy. I talked to you this morning. You had tons of showings and everything going on today there, which is a great sign that people are out doing deals. Is there anything else that Doug maybe you mentioned that you want to bring forward or things that that we haven't covered that were maybe a key part of that recording?
Yeah, Corey, I'll tell you, there were a lot of things that he mentioned that I would love to tell you right now. Unfortunately, my memory going back 3 weeks, I can't cover it all.
We're going to have to get Doug back is what you're saying.
We're going to have to get Doug back. He's obviously a huge guest and we worked very hard to get him on the first time. And next time we have him on, we'll make sure that it's recorded properly.
Well, here's one thing that I would like the answer to. And maybe, again, I don't follow American politics like probably nearly as intensely as some people may. But I would just like to know that, you know, when Mr. Trump got in for his first sitting, he ripped up the North American Trade Agreement. Said it was the worst thing ever. He ripped that up and shredded it. And to the best of my knowledge, he renegotiated that exact agreement. Fast forward 5 years, he's now come back into power, taken the same agreement he previously negotiated and says it's the worst agreement ever and that America is getting bullied.
He goes, who wrote these agreements? These are the worst I've ever seen. Yeah. He said it was the best agreement ever.
As long as Mr. Trump doesn't listen to this podcast, I don't think I have a problem getting back into the States when I go. But if in case he ever does, I might be flagged at the border now.
It's quite the highlight reel. As you mentioned, SNL is probably better off for it. The people, well, that remains to be seen. It's certainly a roller coaster ride.
That is going to be the best outcome. There's going to be 4 years of uncertainty. And if it's not this, it's going to be something else.
Yeah.
But the SNL skits for the next 4 years are going to be priceless. So... it'd be really good. But Rod, thank you so much for taking the time to kind of give us a rewind and a recap of that episode. Like, unfortunately, we couldn't extract it like we were really hoping to, but we got some of the key points out there that I appreciate you coming back on and sharing. How can our listeners get a hold of you if they want to do commercial real estate?
Yeah, certainly. So they can reach out to me on my cell phone, 604-763-5510. I'd be happy to have a chat. Just give me a call anytime, or I can be reached, roderick@williamwright.ca. And then you can hop on www.williamwright.ca. We've got lots of information about all the listings we've got and all the brokers that we have.
And then Rod, before we let you go, what are your predictions for 2025? I can, like, from a bird's eye view between the seven offices, I can tell you that we are seeing increased activity week over week. Yeah. And some people might be like, oh, they're just listings, but we're actually seeing transactions. And that's always a good sign. So what are your thoughts?
Yes. So I think heading into 2025, we had a lot of listings come up immediately. It seemed like from the previous few months, the phone was ringing a lot more. We were getting a lot of emails, a lot of activity. Now, on the leasing side of things, we're still extremely busy. I think just looking at, I think I listed just over 20 million in January, the sales listings. It's a bit slower right now. You're not having as many people reach out. For the buyers that I'm working with, they're certainly looking for deals and they're more or less on the sidelines. But having said that, you know, when the market shifts a little bit, people are ready to go. I think that once we see a level of certainty with our federal government, with things down south, I think that there's going to be a flood of activity and we're set for a busy 2025.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think obviously there's uncertainty right now, it feels like, but I do feel very optimistic and very positive on 2025 from a real estate standpoint. There's a lot of people who are waiting to get deals done this year. The banks have still been lending, although that may tighten a bit. I think that's going to be the real driver is how's the bank view the economy? How's the bank view the uncertainty with regards to their lending? But I'm very optimistic for 2025. And I do think real estate, as we always say, is like more of a medium to long-term game. It's never a get-rich-quick scheme. Although maybe in BC, it may have felt like that for years. But if you have a good outlook in the right markets and you buy the right assets, you will do very, very well. It's been proven. So I'm very optimistic moving forward as well. Rod, thank you very much once again for joining us today. We really appreciate the recap there. We'll be back next week, guys, with another great episode. Thanks, Rod.
Thanks, Corey.
Subscribe today.